Hello, everyone. This is The Daily Occupation. I'm Anika. Let's get started. Today, I'm going to talk about wheelchair seating and mobility. This is very important because a lot of clients that you will encounter in your career will require some sort of assistance in positioning and mobility. And this is something that we as OTs are huge members of in the sense of helping those clients obtain these types of functional mobility and ensure that their postural seating is comfortable and functional for them to engage in their occupations. So I do have a PDF that I made with a table that just kind of shows different parts of the wheelchair, different types of seating positioning systems. And for my podcast, I am going to be referencing the AOTA PDF about wheelchair seating and mobility because I do really like the way that they really broke it down. Some of it's very basic, and I won't go through every bit of it, but I do think that they hit very good key points that are applicable to not just the exam, but in daily practice. So if you haven't, I would highly recommend checking out the AOTA PDFs and looking at this wheelchair seating and mobility PDF as well. So to begin, you're going to kind of obviously evaluate the client, see what they are requiring for a seating or positioning system or mobility system. So you kind of got to think about the goals for your client. You need to think about their body structures and their function. So looking at their alignment, if they have any deformities, keeping in mind skin integrity, thinking about vital organs, so like respiratory system, circulatory system. Are they going to be able to be upright enough so they have room for their lungs to expand when breathing and they're able to make sure that the blood is able to flow to all of their parts of their body to ensure that all their tissues stay healthy? That's something very important to consider. Then you also have to think about function in the sense of to be able to have them sit in the sense of postural control and stability. Are they able to do that on their own? Or, do they need increased in comfort for decreasing their pain and trying to help with muscle tone, positioning their head so they can visualize and see their environment? Also thinking about fatigue as well. And lastly, activity and participation. We want to think about the movement and trying to optimize as much of that participation as possible in all of their ADLs and IADLs. And this will really help with more of that psychological or psychosocial factors that come into play that we always consider as OTs because we're very holistic. So just to kind of review, members of the wheelchair seating and mobility team, obviously the client, there's going to be the physician or physiatrist, we're going to have the OT and PT involved, there's usually a rehab engineer, and then obviously there's going to be a vendor, so an assistive technology vendor that you're going to order the system through, things like that. And it really depends on the setting that you're in. I have experienced on both sides of PT being more of the therapy professional to undergo the evaluation of the seating, but I've also seen in other settings where the OT kind of takes charge on that. And it really depends on the facility and also depends on which professional may have a extra certification for assistive technology or adaptive equipment. So it can go both ways. So we definitely are big players in that team and deciding process. So you obviously want to think about the overall goals and the medical diagnoses and status of your clients, looking at their body structures and functions, what occupations they want to engage in, thinking about all the different contexts, social, physical, what they're able to do currently. And also we need to think about payment in the sense of, is it going to be covered by insurance? Are there any sources of funding available? This is something to also consider and to talk about with the client and the team members and also look at with the vendors as well. So that's kind of what I'm going to go about in the sense of kind of just that background information about wheelchair seating and positioning in the sense of kind of the background, things to think about before you go into knowing about the different types of cushions, materials, seating systems, all of that. And so now I'm just going to kind of go in and talk about different parts of the wheelchairs and positioning devices so you can kind of know maybe what cushions, for example, will be best for certain clients or what type of wheelchair will be best for certain clients based off of their function and how they can help those clients. So we're going to start with just seat cushions. So seat cushions are what's going to sit on top of the seat, obviously, and what the patient's going to be sitting on. So we've got a couple different options here, and I'm going in first talking about the type of cushions themselves, not the materials. I will be doing that in just a second. So the first option is a planar or a flat cushion. So this is going to be just flat. It's not going to accommodate their body shape or their curves of their body. It's going to stay there. It won't like contour to them. So this is going to be mostly just for clients who really don't need a lot of postural support and they can kind of reposition independently. They're able to, they don't need that postural support to have it contour to their body. So that's something to keep in mind for maybe a higher functioning patient. Next, you have a contoured or a curved cushion. This is going to be the surfaces obviously have contours that are based on typical body sizes. So if you've got a patient that's very petite or bariatric, it may not be for them. This is mostly going to help with support a little bit more than those planar or flat cushions. And it's also going to help with distributing pressure across the surfaces that are they're sitting on. So their bottom, their upper thighs, things like that. And then we've got custom contoured, and this is going to be shaped specifically to that client's body. This is going to be really good for clients who need a lot of support to maintain balance or they have pelvic deformities, so they won't fit into that quote unquote typical body size that the typical contoured seat cushion will have. So this is going to really provide the most amount of support. It also is going to cost the most. So that's something that you have to consider when ordering a custom contoured cushion. They distribute the pressure across all the surfaces. The client is going to be limited to that one position because they're going to be contoured into that certain position to help them keep that posture. So they're not going to be able to reposition. That's also something to keep in mind. Also, transfers can be difficult depending on the contour of the cushion to line up with the patient's body. So if the client does have a lot of pelvic deformities, they may have to be in that one position to try and like keep them as stable as possible, but they can't move very easily in order to transfer. So those are just some things to keep in mind. There's always pros and cons. Okay, next we're just going to talk about the different types of materials that the cushions can be. So we've got foam. Foam is very soft and pliable. It's going to kind of mold around the client. It's very lightweight. It's also low cost. However, heat and moisture can build up. So that's just something to think about when it comes to like skin integrity. If you're going to have someone who maybe kind of runs a little bit warm or sweats very easily, they could possibly have some skin integrity issues depending on how much that heat and moisture can build up. But it is low cost, lightweight, and can form around the patient's body. Next, we have gel. This conforms to the client as well. This is good for postural control, and it's kind of sensitive to temperature, so it's a little bit better than foam, but it's just kind of another option for trying to like kind of have something that will be kind of conforming to the client's body. Next, we've got air. So there usually will be all these little pockets. If you're looking at the PDF, you can see the picture. There's these little pockets of air. This is really great for pressure relief. It's very lightweight. The problem is that it is not as stable for someone who doesn't have postural stability. So for a client who has more postural stability, this would be a good option. If someone has very low stability, this could be more difficult for them to stay upright in their chair. You also need to understand that since it is air, it needs to be inflated. It needs to be inflated correctly into the right amount for it to do the job it's supposed to do. So that's something also to consider. Next, we've got honeycomb. Honeycomb is very lightweight. It's kind of going to provide that uneven pressure relief. So that's something to consider depending on the client that you have, if they're able to kind of reposition themselves and provide those self-initiated or self-directed pressure changes if they're going to be in the wheelchair for like most of the day. Then we have hybrid. So hybrid is what you would think. It's going to be a combination of the materials I just talked about. Usually it's foam and gel that are together, but these kind of will have the different properties of those usually two different materials to try and give you the best of both worlds, I guess you could say. But everything also, you know, depending on what you choose, just need to be mindful about the goals of the patient and what the patient's function is. Lastly, there's also alternating pressure type of materials. Then this is really cool. They have like a scheduled pressure relief that goes from alternating levels of inflation and deflation to allow pressure relief changes. If a client can't like physically reposition themselves, this can help come in to try and help prevent pressure ulcers and keep skin integrity as well. As you would expect, it is more expensive, but it is another option to think about depending on the function and needs of your client. There are some additional seating supports that you can have if your client is requiring more support in order to maintain that functional upright position. We've got a pelvic stabilizer. This is pretty much positioned at the front of the pelvis. This is going to help limit that pelvic tilt, rotation, or obliquity if your patient does have some sort of pelvic deformity, just to try and ensure that their hips and their pelvis stays aligned. Then we have thoracic supports. Those go around right kind of by your ribs on the side. And those are just, like I said, they're lateral to the trunk and they're going to be a little bit below the armpit. So pretty much right on your ribs. And this is really just to help facilitate trunk stability and kind of if someone maybe has scoliosis or is more at risk for some sort of deformity in their trunk and their spine, this can try and slow or prevent that scoliosis from occurring by trying to keep them in that very nice upright position. Then we have thigh supports. These are going to be lateral or medial to the thighs, depending on what the client is needing. This is really just going to help control the client from abducting or adducting their legs if they have some sort of type of deformity that can cause, let's say, for example, like windswept hips, other things like that, where maybe their legs need something in the middle to prevent their legs from adducting too much, or on the other hand, abducting too much, just to ensure that their legs are in a nice straight position. And lastly, we have a headrest. Obviously, as you would think with a headrest, it's going to support the back of the head. Normally, it's put kind of right on that occiput area, depending on the patient's need for a head support and how much they rely on that head support. But that's something also, because our head position is very important in engaging visually in our occupations. Now I'm going to go into wheelchair components specifically. So I'm going to start talking about wheels. We have the rear wheels, which, as you would think, they're in the back. They're usually the larger wheels. They're kind of equipped with those push rims, and they can be made from rubber or they can be pneumatic or air-filled. Pneumatic that are air-filled can have some benefits. However, they also require more maintenance, may need to be changed or filled, things like that. Most of them are rubber. They're attached to the frame with a fixed or adjustable axle depending on the wheelchair. So the rear wheels are the ones with the push rims that the patient will be usually able to push themselves or propel themselves with those wheels. Then we have the casters. The casters are the smaller wheels that are located in the front of the chair. These ones are going to rotate freely, so it makes the steering possible because they're able to rotate and move around. Something to think about, we have different size of casters depending on the wheelchair type. The larger the caster, the smoother the ride. However, the wider the turns. So it just kind of depends on your patient. Usually those standard wheelchairs that we'll use in the hospital for those shorter uses are going to have those larger casters because they're a smoother ride. People are just getting used to using those wheelchairs. However, they aren't going to be able to steer and turn as tightly. So sometimes people who are long-term manual wheelchair users may have smaller casters so then they can do more tighter turns because they're able to kind of get used to the rougher ride and something that they tend to get used to and master on their own as they have it for years and years. The last type of wheel that we have is a power assist option. So this is a motor that's in the wheel hub. And so this is going to help. So when clients push on the push rim, the motor is going to start and it's going to propel the chair in the direction that the client pushed. So these are going to be good for clients who have a lot of fatigue or decreased strength, who want to do some of that manual propulsion, but they don't have the strength to get anywhere very far. So this can kind of help get them going and moving a little bit farther than they could just by themselves, but they're still able to engage in that propulsion. Then we have different types of armrests. We have height adjustable armrests. These are great because they can go up or down depending on the need for the client. We've got the full-length armrests. So these are the ones that are going to go the full length of the wheelchair seat. These are going to be providing that more support for the arms. It's better support if you're going to use a lap tray because the lap tray has more area to lie on. And it can be helpful for using arms during transfers. However, they do kind of get in the way when trying to roll up to surfaces like tables, for example. And that's where desk length armrests can come into play. So they've kind of got shorter length, so it helps them in get more access to work surfaces. So desks, tables, countertops, etc. And if you really want to use a lap board, you can take them out, turn them around, put them in the reverse, and they can be used for a lap board. They could be used for more arm support during transfers. So I personally like these because all you have to do is take them out and turn them around, and then they can kind of imitate the full length by having them more in the front of the wheelchair than behind. So you can kind of do that dual purpose. But it really depends on the client and what they need, especially if this is going to be a wheelchair that they're using in the long haul. Next, we've got leg rests and foot rests. So we've got elevating leg rests. And as you would think, these obviously will reposition for the comfort of the client. So if a client is going to want to have kind of an opportunity to lift up their legs, this is great to have elevating leg rests because this can help with providing more circulation if they have edemus extremities. We also have ankle straps. So ankle straps are going to go around the ankles, as you would think. And this is just going to help keep the feet from sliding off footrests if someone has a lot of tone or decreased ability to control their one of their lower extremities or both their lower extremities due to any sort of hemiparesis or flaccidity. These can be very great in making sure that their feet stay on the footrests and don't fall off and get run over or injured during propulsion. We also have heel loops, which will go around the heels versus around the ankles, but they do the same thing of preventing the feet from slipping off the back of the footrest. So these can just help ensure that the client's feet are staying in the right position so they won't get injured while propelling the wheelchair. Then we've got some wheelchair accessories. And so this is going to be a couple of different things. We've got a lap board. So a lap board is really just going to fit across the armrest. And this is going to help with a couple of different things. It can help support weak upper extremities or provide a work surface. It wraps around the client. However, you need to understand that this reduces the overall width of the chair by 1 inch. So if the client's already a little bit big for the chair, it may not be the most comfortable for them. And I'm going to be going over the measurements at the end just to kind of give a brief review. But that's something to keep in mind if you're going to use a lap board, that you have to kind of keep in mind that inch that will be taken away if you use a lap board, especially very frequently for a client. We have a positioning belt. This is going to stabilize the pelvis. This is going to be positioned at kind of the back of the hips, and it's going to kind of go around on the front of the hips, and it's going to pull the pelvis at a 45-degree angle. I cannot stress that angle enough. The 45-degree angle is very important. If it's not at that angle, it's not going to do the job that it is meant to do, and it won't provide the support, and it won't have the outcome that is warranted from using the positioning or lap belt. We have hand rim projections. So these are little, kind of like little knobs that are put on top of the rear wheels to help with compensating for that weaker grasp to help move the wheelchair. So they don't have to grasp the actual push rims. They can use these little knobs that they have, the hand rim projections, to kind of push along, and they don't have to truly grasp as hard as they would for a normal wheelchair wheel. We have brake lever extenders. These are great. I give them out a lot depending on my patient's needs. These are really going to help for limited range of motion in reaching brakes. So if someone can't reach their brakes, then this is something for them. They can still be in charge of their brakes, have that extra independence. It's also great for someone who has any sort of spinal precautions and can't, or back precautions and can't twist or bend too much, for them to be able to reach down and block their brakes without having to compromise their precautions. We have anti-tip devices. These are really, as you would think, and as you probably already know, prevent the chair from tipping backward. Some people who are very pro and very good and mastered the wheelchair use for manual wheelchairs, especially people with spinal cord injuries and have used them for a long time, they take off their anti-tippers so then they can tip back farther to get up curves and other sort of rough terrain. But for people, especially when they're first starting, these are something that's very important to have just as a safety feature, depending on the client and what they're needing. And then we have a wedge cushion. So a wedge cushion, as you'd think, is a wedge. And normally it's going to pretty much have the front higher than the back. This is really just going to prevent that forward sliding. Sometimes people will slide forward if they have some higher tone or their posture is a little bit less stable, just to help prevent and keep them in their chair so they don't slide out. It also can be called an anti-thrust seat. Now we're going to go in and talk about the types of wheelchairs. We have manual chairs. And in the types of manual chairs, we have the standard wheelchair. As most everyone knows, this is just more short-term temporary use. It doesn't have, it has the sling seat, and you know, it's great for use for short-term, but sitting in that for a very long time can get kind of uncomfortable. And it's usually got the sizes for a typical adult size. Then we've got a lightweight standard wheelchair. This is similar to a standard chair, but it's lighter. So really, the thing to remember here is that it's less than 35 pounds. We then have ultra lightweight wheelchairs. These are less than 30 pounds. So these have a couple different options. They can be rigid or folding frame. They can be customizable. These are really great for people who are going to be very active in their wheelchair and want to be able to transfer into cars and grab the wheelchair and put it in the seat behind them, things like that. Heavy-duty wheelchair. This is going to be designed to be bigger and stronger for bariatric patients or patients who have very severe spasticity and kind of need that extra heavy duty to kind of withstand their tone kicking in. Usually this is over 250 pounds for a client over 350 pounds. So it's a very heavy-duty chair. Then we go into talking about power chairs. So power chairs are for clients who cannot propel a manual wheelchair. Wheels may be the front, middle, or rear placed, and these do, depending on where they're placed, will depend on kind of the type of ride that they feel and how big of a turning radius they need. Movement is controlled through a joystick, or they can have alternative methods. They can have breath, like sip and puff. They can do head, eye gaze, their tongue, their chin, depending on if they have the ability to use their hands for a joystick. We then have a tilt-in space. Tilt-in space is going to be where the seat-to-back angle is fixed. So when you go to recline, quote unquote, the seat also comes up. These are going to be able to be tilted 0 to 45 degrees. This will change their orientation in space, but not their position. Remember that their seat to back angle is fixed. So their back and their bottom will move together. This is really great for clients who are in chairs for a very long time and cannot reposition for pressure relief on their own. The being able to do the tilt in space will prevent shearing while reducing pressure when they change that position. We then have a recline. This is going to be where the seat to back angle will change to more than 90 degrees. So just the back is going to go down. It can go to from upright to nearly horizontal, so it can recline very far. And this is for clients who are able, who are going to be spending a lot of time in a chair and want to recline, and also for clients who are unable to sit upright. So if they need to be reclined that and they can't be upright due to any sort of blood pressure or things like that going on, or any sort of deformity even, then they can be reclined slightly as well. And then we have a one-arm drive. As you would think, one-arm drive is going to be for clients who have hemiplegia or have an arm amputated. This is really just going to be where the axles are going to be linked. So it'll allow both wheels to operate from one side. So they will be able to use just one arm and it will move both wheels at the same time to help them propel. We have a hemi height wheelchair. These are going to be for clients with hemiplegia. These chair heights is lower because then they can propel with their feet or a foot. So if they have, let's say their left side impacted from a right-sided stroke, they have their right leg and their right arm to propel. So they'll use their leg to kind of help foot propel. But in order to do that, they need to be lower to the ground to reach it. So that's why it's called hemi height. Of course, there's pediatric chairs, and pediatric chairs can have the similar properties that I've just talked about with all these others. Obviously, the difference with pediatric is that they're designed for children, and they are supposed to help accommodate growth, so you're not having to get a new wheelchair every year to a couple years because children grow so fast. We have an amputee wheelchair. This is where the rear axle is set back to increase the stability to compensate for the missing limb. So something to really think about when you have a missing limb or limbs, especially for the lower extremities, it really changes your center of gravity. And so you need to move your axles back in order to make sure that they don't tip forward or backward, depending on where they're, what they're doing and where, how they're positioning in their seat, because they have that weight from their leg gone now. We have sports wheelchairs. These are very lightweight. They're less than 20 pounds. These are great for people who are going to use their wheelchairs to engage in sports, and they're actually designed for specific sports. So depending on the sport that you're into, you can get wheelchairs designed specifically for that sport, which I think is really great. Lastly, we have scooters, motorized scooters. So motorized scooters are mostly for clients whose walking ability is limited. They can still walk, but not far. And these usually have three or four wheels and they're steered with a tiller. These are more difficult to steer than power wheelchairs. You have to kind of remember that. You may not always think so, but they actually are a little more difficult to steer. They have pretty big turning radiuses and they can be very heavy. But these can be helpful for clients who maybe have like COPD or something like that, where they can walk a little ways, but when it comes to community mobility, they could use some help getting around. So let's say going grocery shopping, they could use the scooter then to be able to engage in their grocery shopping, but maybe they can walk around in the house from room to room if they need. Okay, that is the majority of what I have for the different types of wheelchairs and different parts. Now I'm going to talk about measuring for a wheelchair. This is something that's very important because you want to make sure that if this is going to be for that patient, especially for the longer haul, that it fits them good and that it will be comfortable, because if it doesn't fit right, they won't sit right. Therefore, then could cause pressure in different areas. Skin integrity could be, compromised. There's a lot of things to consider. So it's very good to measure. First, we're going to talk about seat width. So seat width is going to be when you measure the widest part of the hips or thighs plus 1 to 2 inches. This added width is going to help provide the clearance between the thighs and the chair to make repositioning easier. So if they have to kind of rock side to side to kind of reposition, they're able to do so. They're not just sitting really tight in that chair. There should be 1 to 2 inches between the client and armrests or the edge of the chair, so then they can move around a little bit more. So seat depth, this is going to be measuring from the base of the back of the popliteal space of each knee. So you're going to go from the popliteal space or right behind the knee to the base of the back. Then you're going to subtract 1 to 2 inches. This is going to ensure that the seat edge does not reach the back of the knee to restrict motion. They're still able to bend their knee, to be able to self-propel if they need, or to get up from their chair during transfers. Now we have seat height. Seat height, you're going to measure from the popliteal fossa to the bottom of the client's heel, +2 inches. So remember that the footrests need to have a 2-inch clearance from the floor. And we want to keep the thighs parallel to the floor if possible. So if we're going to have a seat cushion, we need to understand that seat cushion is obviously going to raise the overall seat height. So if they're going to have a cushion, you need to put that into your equation. We now have seat back height. This is going to measure from the seat surface, including the cushion if they have one, to the top of the client's shoulder. You're then going to subtract 3 to 4 inches. So this is something that you need to think about on how much support does the client need. If the client needs more trunk control and support, then I would have a higher back. If they don't, then I'd have a lower back because then they're able to clear with their arms and it won't hit the backrest. The goal is to provide the support needed, but allowing the upper extremities to move as much as possible. So that's something to think about on if your client does have poor trunk control, then you may need a higher back seat, but usually we'll subtract that 3 to 4 inches. Last, we're now going to talk about armrest height. Armrest height, we're going to measure from the seating surface to the bottom of the client's flexed elbow and add 1 inch. Remember that the armrest should be about 1 inch higher than where their elbow sits. The goal is to support the upper extremities and provide leverage for pushing up for pressure release and also during transfers. So that is everything that I have for wheelchair and positioning. Hopefully this was helpful. I think that it's very good to review this, not just for the exam, but just for practice in general, because you will be working with people in who require wheelchairs. And you may have someone who comes in who already is a wheelchair, using a wheelchair and has their own, but maybe they need updates, or maybe there's been some sort of change in their diagnosis, or there's a medical change, and so they're requiring an update in some sort of seat cushion or seating positioning device, anything. And so knowing some of this can really help you, and kind of putting that in your OT toolkit that I call it, to keep in the back of your head so you are readily prepared when stuff like this arises. It's also, like, obviously important for the MBCOT exam as well. So hopefully you are all now wheelchair seating and positioning experts and can have found that this was helpful, and seeing the table that I created was helpful to kind of get a visual of what some of these different materials and different parts of the wheelchair look like, just to kind of give you a visual. Just to remind you that I have my website with all my other resources and podcasts on it. If you just go to thedailyoccupation.wixsite.com/podcast/resources, it'll take you right there. Also, be sure to check out my Facebook page. Just search The Daily Occupation and ask to join. This is just something where I want us to have both students, emerging OTs, and current OTs to come together to have discussions and questions if needed. Awesome. Thank you all for listening. My name's Anika. This is The Daily Occupation.